How are you today? I'm
Good.
just listening and I saw it and I can't, thought I'd just drop in.
Well, welcome. Look forward to hearing from you. We're going to have a little bit of a discussion from a couple people and then kind of open it up a little bit. So if this feels like a good crowd to be in, I hope you stick around and come back.
Thank you.
Ray, you're more than welcome to tell them why you're here.
I'm looking to be part of the committee here. So,
oh, great.
I'm here to actually observe and be a see what I can bring to the table in conversation as well as experience and background.
Okay. Good to hear. We'll do a round of introductions so you'll kind of know who's in the room right now. I'm going to wait like maybe another minute to see if anybody joins in. Shayna just joined us from Race Talks. Hi, Shayna.
Hey, everyone. It's been so long since I've seen you.
It seems like that some days, even a day.
Was that like 10 hours? Greg, we had a meeting last night.
Yes, I was trying to get there, but I just couldn't get there. My car, the alternator went out on me on the highway, and so.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, lucky enough, I thought quickly enough to take the first exit after it started to die down just a little bit, and if not, I would have been stuck in the 5 o'clock traffic where people are speeding along at enormous speeds and trying to get home or trying to get somewhere special. And lucky enough, I pulled off just in time to get to a gas station and died.
I thought Portland Cop Watch yesterday said they were going to be here, so maybe they're running a little bit late. Okay, let's begin, and as people arrive, we'll catch up with them. So this is the policy and outreach work group, and let's just go around and introduce ourselves. So my name is Vadim Mazursky. I'm on the Citizen Review Committee as well as on this work group. Have been for a couple years, and hopefully will be for a little bit longer until the transition to the new oversight board. And I'll pass to Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie Falk. I'm a member of the CRC and of this work group.
And Candace?
Hi, I'm Candace Avalos, she, her pronouns, CRC chair and part of this work group.
Okay, Shayna?
Hi there, I'm Shayna Pomerantz. I'm part of the CRC and part of this work group.
And Irene?
Irene Konev, Community Outreach Coordinator for IPR.
And lastly, Greg, you introduced yourself, but anything you'd like to just add or any questions you have for us since you're new here, just generally?
No questions. Observing from a from the back seat, and if I have to chime in, I'll chime in, but I'm here to actually learn and follow what's happening.
So today we'll start off with a brief presentation with Shayna on the Equity Committee for the Portland Police Bureau. And I know that's not the full name for it, Shayna, but if you'd like to fill us in on what y'all are doing and how we can perhaps overlap with that, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, you know, we love acronyms, right? So the official acronym is PEAC, and it's a Portland Equity Advisory Committee. And so I believe we are a body of about 14 or 15. We started a year ago. We just hit our 1 year anniversary. And so specifically, we are brought on, as I understand it, I think it's still kind of an evolving body, but we are there essentially to look at the 5-year equity plan and give advice based on and recommendations based on the pretty substantive equity plan that the Bureau is working with. And so when we first came in, our staff support is through Marlon Marion, who is the equity director for the Bureau, and Brody Sargent. And I don't know Brody's official title, but I believe he's program management community support liaison. He sends us all the emails. So he's very big in the work that we do. So for our meetings, we have a chair, Tony and Wendy, and I'm sorry, I'm going blank on last names. I know we have elections and this month at our next meeting. So I don't know if they'll be planning to run again as co-chairs or, if there'll be new officers. But in our last meeting, one of the things we talked about was creating youth seats, essentially where young people looking at PSEP, where there's a lot more youth involvement and kind of looking at the way I come into this work is generationally. So my grandparents moved to Portland in the 40s. They were active with the NAACP. They were business owners, active in the church, in the Black community. Worked with Chief Moose, worked with a number of, pretty much all the chiefs that have, come through. My mom, my aunt, other family members have also worked with PPB in terms of engaging community, working around the issues that specifically were impacting the Black community primarily. And so I think as Portland continues to evolve and we have less of a substantial Black community, but we have a high immigrant, refugee community, non-English speaking folks, Latino folks, Asian folks, we still have Black folks. We still have to figure out how to feel safe in our community and work with the issues that we're dealing with. So one of the things we identified early on in PIAC is that there are a number of bodies doing this work, coming at it in different ways. So we have the CRC and the crowd control group that they have, and the policy and outreach group that we have here. We have TAC, which is the training and help me with the TAC acronym,
Training Advisory Committee.
Training Advisory Committee, thank you. And then we've got PSEP, which is the community engagement under the settlement with the DOJ. And then now I found out we have CAG, which is the Coalition of Advisory Groups. So there's a number of folks who are coming at this work in different ways. And so I think one of the big things we saw with the equity plan, which is, as I understand it, when we came into our group at the beginning of last year, the outcomes are already several years behind. So in terms of meeting these benchmarks within 5 years, some are on time, but the majority have not been started or they're just at the very beginning phases. So where we should already be, I think, 3 years into a five-year plan, a good majority of the processes are just in the first year. And so really needing to kind of look at, okay, if we're going to be making recommendations, one, we need to kind of know where everyone is and kind of what are their issues. And so in our work, we've been inviting the department heads to come in and report out to us in terms of where they are within the equity plan, and then giving us an opportunity to ask any questions, any issues, challenges that they're dealing with. Because we just kind of felt like we can't make recommendations if we don't know where they are in their work, And then the other thing is we certainly don't want to create a greater strain on the Bureau if other advisory bodies are making asks that essentially create an impossibility for them to do it. So one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we were being able to do is partner with these other advisory bodies to look at what are the asks that they're prioritizing, and then trying to align our recommendations to that. Because I think the worst case scenario is the police bureau coming back and saying, we've had so many asks made upon us that we couldn't accomplish any of them. And so we didn't want to be a contributor to that. So we definitely have been looking at how to partner. So I come back and share what's happening with CRC and the work that's happening there. Some of the other members have connections with TAC and PSEP. And so that's kind of, you know, where we are at. Our meeting is the second Tuesday or third Tuesday, I think second Tuesday of the month, and they're open meetings. So community are welcome. So if any of you are interested in coming, I highly encourage you to come and check us out.
Thank you, Shayna. Shayna, one remark and then probably a series of questions for you, but are you connected at all with Lakiana Drury? He has a group that he works with kids in the police bureau. So if you're
looking- Word is bond. Yeah, Lakiana actually was one of our, along with Candace and Taji Chesame and Teresa Rayford, were all panelists for Race Talks in January.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then as far as questions, how do you all interact with the Office of Equity and Human Rights and Dr. Smith, if at all? Is there like any back and forth with how the police bureau and the other bureaus deal with equity issues?
I imagine Marlon and Brody specifically have a number of connections with OEHR. I specifically have been on the OEHR Budget Advisory Committee for the past 3 years, so I also have a relationship with the office. We have not convened a meeting with them, or rather they have not convened a meeting with their BAC in probably over a year since we've been under COVID. And so we used to meet pretty regularly since Dr. Smith became the director of the Bureau. Unfortunately, they are one of the least funded bureaus in the city, and you know, providing equity support services to every bureau in the city when you're deeply underfunded is a real challenge. And so that's something that we are constantly advocating for them. As their advisory committee, we've set up some meetings with the mayor. So again, I think with all the different efforts that are happening, you know, I think as much as people are trying to connect and collaborate, I think that's, you know, something we try to encourage and we're constantly checking in about. I have not met with the OEHR in some time. Have you, Vadim, in your different capacities, have you had any connection there?
Not in a while. Some of the support staff for PSEP, well, they all work within OEHR, but we don't directly have OEHR contact. Dr. Smith sometimes attends our meeting, but she hasn't attended in quite some time as well. So I know generally about them, but no direct interaction with what they're doing, I guess.
And that's a good idea, actually. I think at our next PAC meeting, I'll make that suggestion that we should definitely have her come, because I don't think we have.
When you said that there's sort of all these groups and you don't want to kind of overstep what they're doing, there is a lot of that. There's a lot of advisory groups. I think Portland as a whole has over 200. I mean, it's an astounding number. Yeah. But particularly with the police bureau, there's all these like Slavic advisory groups, Muslim advisory groups. They're all trying to do the same thing, improve the police bureau, but there's got to be some overlap. And so with equity, I'm sure Marlon is in constant contact, but I'm wondering like what comes across the advisory group's desk.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I just wanted to jump in and say that Marlon and Brody both attend the Office of Equity and Human Rights equity meetings. So they're connected that way. And I think they work quite closely with some of the team members.
Great.
And Greg, Shane, I referenced a coalition of advisory groups. As we were saying, that there's probably 10 or something like that, roughly speaking, advisory groups for Portland Police Bureau. Recently, they started the, I want to say it's called the Latinx, but maybe that's not the name of it. But also there's been newer groups that have started more recently and other groups that have been around for quite a long time. And they advise from their communities kind of what they'd like for PPB to be doing and what their needs are. And so recently some of the chairs of these committees got together in order to be able to strategize together and kind of break down those silos. And I think that's very helpful, and they kind of help each other usher recommendations and policy changes. So that's very useful that people are kind of more on the same page.
Are we talking about the CAG, the Coalition of Advisory Groups? Yes, I attended about 2 weeks ago as a representative for PIAC. I think my only concern, I'm actually going to be reporting out to PIAC about that experience, but I think my only concern about that group is they have closed door meetings. Mm-hmm. And I am always weary of anything that is supposed to be community oriented, and you have to get in through invite. So that to me, and I raised those concerns in that meeting. So I don't know how much more involvement we'll continue to have with CAG, because it's my understanding that there have been some other groups that have attempted to also join that meeting and haven't been given access. So I definitely like the open, inclusive nature that we have in this space here that I've seen in PIAC, that I understand. I haven't attended a PSEP meeting, but from my understanding from people who have, it's an open community-based forum. And so I think just because there's so much mistrust and distrust in community, especially around policing, I think the more transparency and inclusion that we can offer to community, the better.
May I speak to that, please? I'm a member of the CAG.
Hi, Jim.
I missed you because I was in another meeting.
Yeah, I would have loved to see your face there.
nice to see you. CAG is in some sense not an organization. It's a coalition of organizations, and its primary purpose is not to make any decisions. They don't make any judgments, but just so that each member of CAG can take back to their own group what everybody else is up to. So its function is purely communication within all of these groups and to present a united front that we do talk to the police, so the police can't tell one group one thing and another group another thing and get away with it. So the transparency issue in my mind, and I'm all with you, I believe in transparency, is less important because this is a group of the people who lead groups, and it functions better when they can just talk among each other and converse with each other. My role, for the record, is I am the backup person for the Training Advisory Council to Sean Campbell. So if he can't make the meeting, I represent them. Otherwise, I basically sit there and I take notes sometimes if they ask me to. But it's the group itself, I'll tell you this, Shana, the group itself believes that they got off on the wrong foot with you and they want to make things right. So if that helps, that's a.
I hope they will reach out to me.
I
appreciate you saying that, because we did not get off on the right foot, and what you're communicating to me was not what I experienced, and I vocalized my concerns in that space. And so because I recognize that in my capacity here and any of the volunteer work that I do, I am not representing just myself. I'm representing my community. I'm representing specifically my Black community, because I know that we are in such small representation in this city and in this state. And so anytime that we have a seat at a table, you know, we are not... That is my familial upbringing in terms of how I come into public service work. I am not there as a representative myself or even just my family. I'm there as a representative of my community. And so the concerns I raised were from that place. And so I'm happy, Jim. I don't want to get into this space in terms of maybe opening up what transpired there, but I will say that it did not leave a good impression with me. I'm happy to know that they want to repair that. No one has reached out to me personally at this point, who was present. I'm open to it.
They're talking about it. They have an important meeting on Monday that they're preparing for, and you're the next on the agenda after that. And okay. Do you know that Dr. Baker is a member of the group?
I didn't know Dr. Baker. And if he would like to reach out and make a connection, he's welcome to do that.
He's the African American Advisory Council for the police, and he is a member of that group.
He was there.
I saw him. This sounds like something.
Yeah, I think we should take this offline, Jim. I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to go there.
This seems like a thorny issue, but if y'all can connect maybe after this meeting,
I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy to talk with you offline.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for letting me know that you're part of that. I do want to just say that I do think there is some wonderful collaboration efforts happening with Vadim and Candace, with the other chairs, and I understand that there's regular meetings and conversations that happen with you all. And so on an ongoing monthly basis, and if there's a way to get PIAC involved with that so that we can make sure that that body is also part of the conversation and made aware of the efforts that, the collaborations that are occurring between CRC and PSEP. And I think that would be great because it can only strengthen the work that we're all doing.
I think is pretty important is that we kind of build upon our work. So for some context here, the Training Advisory Council passed a recommendation that the Public Support Safety Specialist Program get enlarged over time in order to have unarmed individuals. They're not police members, are not sworn police members, but unarmed individuals that respond to 911 calls that do not necessitate armed response, so it won't escalate into deadly force or otherwise. And PSEP took up that banner as well to help, and so that was a recommendation that came out this month from PSEP as well to expand the PS3 program. And the Budget Advisory Committee for the Police Bureau is also saying that that's something that should be looked at to put funds into that measure as well. So those sort of things where there's definitely a community desire, Portland Cop Watch also wants to expand the PS3 or responded to the one of the policies that came out and said that there should be an expansion. So people working together and then, the police commissioner and the police chief will hear multiple voices instead of just hearing one voice. So hopefully there'll be synergy, and I agree, transparency is important. I think in my view, we should probably update what the CRC and PSEP and TAC, whenever we have communications, what those communications entail. Likewise, it's just trying to understand what each group is working on and how we can help one another, but it is good to make sure that's out there. Moving on.
Vadim, if I can interject. My phone keeps going. I'm so sorry for your ears, everyone. I wasn't sure if you had mentioned this in case I meant with the meeting. I know PSEP is holding a town hall tonight. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that. It's on the
policing, right?
Sorry?
On the core patrol duties?
Yes. They have a town hall this evening, and I logged in my phone, but the link is actually on my computer. but if anybody has it and they want to throw it into the chat, I think it's around 5 o'clock this evening.
That's about right. Yeah. We'll see if I can find it.
Thank you, Vadim.
Okay, I just added it to the chat. Yes, 5:30 till 7:30 tonight. PSEP is supposed to come out with a report about possible ways to reimagine police patrol services, which is actually very, very broad. Most people think patrol is just, walking the beat or something like that, but it's entails almost everything except for, crime investigations. So it's a very broad mandate, and we've been getting input online on a webpage And this meeting tonight will be more of an in-person presentation by some people as well as public input. So it should be quite interesting.
And on next Wednesday, TAC will vote on and will pass a recommendation supporting the work of PSEP on this.
And I read that recommendation. It's a really good recommendation. Whoever worked on it did an excellent job.
Sean, as usual.
Yeah, he sent me one of his PowerPoint slides, and I'm like, you should be paid to do this. He's very methodical about his presentations. Okay, so moving on.
Do you have a copy of the proposal that can be shared in the chat? That recommendation?
Yeah, if I have a
is that available for us? Yeah,
it should be in the Training Advisory Council website.
We can't release it until we officially vote on it, which is Wednesday.
Gotcha.
And then it will be public. But the steering committee has said, group, you should vote in favor, which means the chances are 99.5% they will vote in favor. And only then can we call it our work. Until then, it's not our work. It's just a bunch of individuals who think something. So it takes a vote of the whole for it to say, this is what the Training Advisory Council says. And I've also heard from the new captain of the training division that he is going to support it when he sends it upstairs.
That's great. So I got it in some email. I'll see who it was sent to and ask if I can forward it to you, Shane. I don't want to.
Okay. Vadim, are you on the TAC as well?
I'm not on the TAC, no.
Okay. I know you're on the PSEP body.
Yeah. I think 22 new applicants. I have no idea who they are. They're all anonymous, but there's a good bunch there. And I suspect we're going to bring in 10 of them, but their first meeting will be in May.
Great. Yeah, and if anybody's interested in TAC, they do really good work. And now that it's online, it's a little bit more accessible than having to go to the training facilities out by the airport. I think they're always recruiting. This last time was a large amount of people that needed to be onboarded, but I'm sure they're going to have more openings. So,
Shane, you're welcome to join us at 6:30 next Wednesday as an observer. Anybody can attend.
That may conflict with our PIAC meeting, but let me double check. But thank you, Jim, for the invite. If I will check my calendar for sure.
Dan is always there.
Awesome.
So the second part of this meeting is about the police oversight board that the city passed and as a referendum, as a change to the city charter. And now under Commissioner Hardesty's office, several people are working on it. And the latest development is that over the next 18 months, a commission will be formed to bring people together to sort of lay the groundwork for this board that'll be brought into being in about 18 months or so, probably a little bit less than 18 months at this point. And so this new commission, I believe, in fact, I know that they're recruiting right now through March 15th for members for that. It'll be comprised of, I believe, 20 people. Each city commissioner and the mayor will have four recommended commissioners that they can appoint. And I'm sure it'll be a collaborative effort, but that's how they get to that 20. Each commissioner and mayor will have four people that they can designate for that. They've set aside representation there for people that have been historically oppressed by the police. Due to institutional racism, immigration policies, and other things like that. They've also set aside certain representation from groups that, such as nonprofits that work with those communities, and also from business interests. So they're trying to be fair in the representation on that board. So if anybody is interested, I mentioned this during our last CRC meeting, but for Greg and Jim, you sound like you know about it or look like you know about it, but you know, there's still about 10 days to apply for that and should be a really interesting commission to be a part of. So part of that process is they're really starting from scratch as far as I can tell. I haven't seen too much as far as like mission or policy being developed as to what the Portland Oversight Board will look like. They're going to have a pretty substantial budget. They're going to have a fairly substantial jurisdiction as to what they can do with respect to investigating complaints against the police bureau, perhaps even internal complaints, reviewing use of force data, use of force incidents, perhaps even like hiring and firing being part of the process for that. And so personally, I've been looking into other models around the country for these sort of boards and commissions. Some have more latitude, some have less. Some actually do have that authority to discipline police officers. Some do not. Some are commissioners that are appointed by the mayor. Some are volunteers, just like all of us here. So it varies. And so what I wanted to do is to create a document where we can perhaps bring it up to either this new board that'll be created or to City Council and say, here's what the different models are. And perhaps even if we choose so, make a recommendation on what model would maybe be the best for the city. And then that board can, you know, run with it or not as they choose fit.
But even with all due respect, I think that's premature because the group that is about to be formed has the purpose of figuring out what to do about everything you have just mentioned, and they are the right people to give your viewpoint to, and they haven't been selected yet. The group, this is the group to determine what all of that is going to happen, and they need all the input they can get, including yours. My hunch is that Candace has applied. I know I would disclose that I have. And this is not the people who are actually going to do it. These are the people who are going to create the structure that will do it. And the idea is to get it right the first time so that they don't go stumbling once they get established. And that's the purpose. And we will, if I'm on, I will absolutely need your input. And if I'm not, the people who are will get my input. So. But we're still away from telling people what are the important things to consider on that, because this group hasn't formed yet, and it's supposed to be a self-organized leadership group. Derek Bradley said that, and so we're not there yet. First, we have to get the pre-group, and then the pre-group needs to figure out what needs to be done, and that's when you become critically important for the kinds of things you're talking about.
And I want to say I have not applied for this group and will not apply for this group. I do look forward to whoever's on this, and Jim and Candace, good luck being appointed. I think there's a pretty good chance of both of you being appointed from what at least I know about your backgrounds. But
what do you mean? I'm not applying. I don't know what you're saying.
You aren't. I've been reading your editorials, Candace, and they're certainly very strong ones. And I thought that you were setting you were telling us what you hope to accomplish.
Oh.
No, I'm not planning on applying because I want to.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
So to give you some background, at least in my thought process, I don't intend to in any way shortcut the work that they will be doing. I just realize what a large task it will be. And I also realize both from what Derek has said and other people that they're going to be reaching out to the CRC with input on things, you know, and so I want to be prepared to be able to provide some sort of input. And in my mind, at least, the input is not only what the CRC has been doing and some of the things that the CRC has requested in the past, which is broader authority, change in the standard of review and other things, but also what is out there. And perhaps if we learn more about that, then that'll help shape any kind of input that we can provide. So that was my thought process with that. And part of it is also educational, you know, for myself and I'm hoping others as well, because I didn't realize until looking into this how many other groups are there and how different they are, but there's also some similarities. And, you know, when I joined the CRC, that was I thought this was a very novel thing for the city of Portland. And there are other organizations that are similarly within auditor's office and kind of have not too dissimilar structure from the CRC, but there's other ones that do have a very different structure. So I think Albuquerque is within the auditor's office. Eugene is within the auditor's office. Los Angeles, New Orleans is within the auditor's office. But there's other ones, like I said, that are wholly independent and have more of like
Philadelphia. Philadelphia is wholly independent.
So that was my thought, Jim. You know, I don't want to create work for anybody or listen to something that, you know, might not be important. So let's talk about that. How do you all feel?
Yeah, I kind of concur with Jim. I actually wanted to get more clarification from you, Vadim, because I know you had mentioned it in the last meeting and it's come up. And I definitely think from an educational standpoint, it's very informative, but I agree with Jim. I don't want to do work that is going to be designated to a new body, especially when we have our own work to do here. I know when I first came in, we had kind of a pre-meeting. This is back when Carol Johnson was still on CRC, and I remember she and I think the rest of us were in a group meeting together. Irene was there, and we had talked about some of the different approaches that we could have with outreach and policy and really looking at who is here, you know, who are the lawmakers, you know, qualified immunity comes up quite a bit, getting some more conversation going with our legislative folks who are working on bills to come in and talk to us, really do more community exposure, bring community partners, coordinating with Irene, because I know she works with a lot of really all of the community partners and inviting them in to talk to us about what they're doing and gaining more accessibility to CRC and feedback. Because as I understand, I mean, we're going to be doing this at least for another year, right, or two before any other body is put into practice, right?
Yeah,
the lawsuits
18
too.
Months, so, yeah.
I'm sorry.
There are a lot of lawsuits that are going to be there too before we understand what's happening.
Right. So I'd love to have a little more education. And I also feel like because a lot of our CRC meetings are really set up around the appeals and we don't really get a lot of opportunity to get a lot of outside information outside of the appeals, that I'd really love to know more about what's going on locally and within Oregon around the issues impacting CRC.
Okay. Really qualified immunity, let me just answer that real quick, Jim. You're saying qualified immunity is one of the things that you'd like to learn more about?
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things, not so much me, but I think in community, there is a misconception about what qualified immunity is, who oversees it, who has the regulatory authority, legal authority over it. So a lot of times we hear it coming up at the local level and it's like remove qualified immunity. And so I think the legal understanding that we have as lawyers that when we talk about qualified immunity and the steps that are required to do something about qualified immunity is not just at the local level. You can have local level conversations, but it needs to go up to the legislature. There is, you know, federal Supreme Court rulings on it. There's, you know, excessive force rulings. There's a lot to it. And I think if we can use this space definitely to help community better understand what these terms mean in a practical sense and who are the appropriate people to connect with around these issues. Cause I think that often is what gets very confusing. And again, we've already discussed how many different bodies are doing things just in Portland alone.
Okay. Let me draw that out a little bit.
I'm changing the topic of conversation, so maybe I shouldn't. I would like to hear more about the new body and whether former CRC members or current CRC members are going to be applying, because I was giving some thought to whether to apply. I don't think I'm necessarily the most representative person for the body, but I did want to know if people with a lot of experience. Jim, did you used to be a member of the CRC?
No, I'm currently on the waiting list. I'll be taking my training later this month. I have a lot of professional experience on accountability issues.
Right. Yeah. So I was just.
And I once structured an accountability board for the Dutch, and yeah. I'm hoping that I can get in because I know where the flat tires are.
Right. Yeah. Well, so I was curious to know if people have made it public that they were going to be applying, because I do think it's important that there is some representation, not critical, not my decision, of course, but I mean, I think it would be useful.
I agree. I have not heard of anybody applying from the CRC, but I have not polled people. So yeah, I was.
Irene?
Pardon?
I was just curious if Irene.
Had I heard. Do not know.
Okay. Interesting. I mean,
the only person who really knows is Derek, and he's not talking.
Yeah, and it's still open.
I guess my question is, why does it matter if there are people? What's the significance of knowing that, Julie, from your perspective, if you're not applying or.
I was trying to decide whether to apply and, you know, just and I would think that there would be people, I'm sure there are going to be tons of great people applying. But I was just curious to know if people who had experience with, you know, Portland's oversight body over the years were going to participate.
Well, if I may say so, in the short time that I've been on the body, I have enjoyed your voice as part of the CRC, and I would definitely hope that you would apply. And
I would point out that your status in CRC does qualify you for one of the reserved areas where they need 5 people. So it's a dedicated group that is supporting people who are mispoliced.
Yeah,
CRC definitely does that. So you are 100% in a category that counts. So I would encourage you to apply, even if we're competing.
And the experience you've had, Julie, and people have been on the CRC for a short and particularly long times, and just seeing the process, you know, would be invaluable. Which is why, so one of the reasons why we were talking about these other advisory groups and what the CRC input is. And one of the reasons we're meeting here is, you know, Derek Bradley in meeting with the CRC noted on a couple occasions that he wants some input from the CRC. And that was kind of relegated to the, or assigned, I should say, to the policy advisory committee to kind of get the basis of that. And then the CRC as a whole would, I'm sure, vote on what our recommendations might be or feedback might be. So whether or not we have any research on this or we just gather information, the CRC will be providing input. But if we have a member of the CRC on this board in order to kind of, you know, be able to give historical sense on things, I think that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let me shift a little bit. And I think that's an excellent question, Julie. I don't know if we can ask people in general if anyone's applying, but certainly if you have any interest, I would encourage you to do that. And so two things then. In my mind, at least, I was doing some research and reaching out in order to provide context from other advisory committees. Julie, Candace, and Greg, for that matter, do you all have any input on whether we've heard from Shana and Jim on whether that would be valuable, or should we shift to something else? And if we do shift to something else, let's discuss that a little bit. Any thoughts in general?
Not sure what you're asking.
Oh, as far as the method for providing input to this advisory board coming up. So Derek Bradley wants the CRC to provide some sort of input down the road, perhaps on various ways, perhaps it'll be questions, but at some point in time, we'll need to provide some input. In my mind, it was, we're gonna do some research and invite some speakers and have sort of a knowledge of what the broader context is and then our own historical knowledge and then provide input based on all that. I've heard from both you, Jim, and Shana that that might not be the best use of the time here for this subcommittee. And
I didn't understand that was the directive from Derek, so I have another thought, Vadim, but thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that, so my apologies there. So at some point in time, we need to provide input, and what I'm trying to grasp here is the best way to go about it.
No, I mean, I don't think that that's, I of course, I think that that would be, you know, valuable, for, you know, for all of us, though I can imagine that that there might be other, you know, bodies doing something similar, or that they would, the people might want to start from scratch with that, but maybe not. But I do think that it's, I mean, you know, most of the boards that I am on really put a priority on self-evaluation. And this board, I mean, I think that IPR, you know, does evaluations, but I mean, I don't think we've really done a self-evaluation in the time that I've been on the board. Correct me if I'm wrong, Irene, but I was wondering if, like, if we were really sort of narrowly staying in our lane, and for better or for worse, maybe we shouldn't do that, that maybe we create a survey for current and past CRC members to really, you know, probe some questions and then provide that as like a, you know, a, like a data to the committee and to, you know, to Commissioner Hardesty's office about, you know, our, like the historical, you know, and current perspectives on the way our body has worked.
All that is a good idea. As soon as there is a body that's been chosen, if you get in there early and with data and evidence and logic and know what the story is, you're going to get listened to and you will have an influence in the direction in which that body goes.
Yeah. Well, it would take a while to
be prepared to bring it as soon as you get your first shot. That's what I would recommend.
But I don't know. So that kind of conflates two goals, like one of, you know, sort of, you know, self-evaluation with, you know, providing the data points to the body. And we could do that in conjunction with other stuff, or we could decide that that's not a good use of our time.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent use. At some point in time, we'll need to gather information, and the survey would be a really good way rather than just, you know, perhaps discussing things and someone taking notes. I do like that. Need to figure out what the questions are. I know what the big issues, just from a historical context and, you know, standard review, being able to perhaps, you know, get people to testify that otherwise are not testifying, those things that we've been asking for a while. But there might be some other kind of more focused issues that I'm unaware of. And Shane, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to finish that last sentence. If you had something to say, please.
I didn't realize that Derek had made that ask in the last question for us to compile information. I from that perspective, I think what I've suggested before, and I'll suggest again, I think inviting other community organizations that are involved. We mentioned PSEP, TAC, I'm here as PAC, but you know, some OEHR, some of the other community bodies, ERCO, Urban League, NAACP, Latino Network. I mean, all of these organizations have bodies, community groups that are working around policing and directly in community. So I think being able to tap into them, let them know about CRC, find out how they can get involved. I'm concerned about the very narrow window of application for this application period and brought that up. So I think looking at the bodies that are doing the work locally, I'd really love to connect with them.
Okay, that sounds good too.
Sorry, I had to step away for a minute, so I missed a little chunk there, my bad. Just wanted to bring something up real quick as far as the new commission and, you know, whether CRC members are applying. One, yes, Julie, I think you should apply. I think And I don't know, I decided not to apply because I felt like it might be, like I wanted to be able to have enough capacity to do the CRC and be able to continue to be the bridge, because I think once they get going, they're going to be looking to us to ask us for, you know, advice. And I feel like there's also a lot in our current framework that doesn't need to be reinvented. It just needs to be tweaked. So I kind of felt like it would be better served if I stayed over here, especially as the current chair, to just do that. But I'm definitely curious to hear, you know, what others think about that, or not like convince me to do it or anything, but like what your opinion is about that, because that's just kind of my perspective on it. But I don't know, maybe I'm questioning myself now. So what do you all think?
And Jim, did you have your hand up?
I, by accident.
Okay. So the selling point in my mind is a few things. One is it's going to be really important for the future of Portland. It's good to have voices that, Candace, you've had so much experience with the subcommittee, as well as being chair and vice chair for a long time now. And there, I think there will be a stipend, so that kind of offsets some of the work. But my reasons are the same as yours, Candace. This new commission that'll set up the board is going to require quite a lot of work, and I do not have the bandwidth, so I'll have to drop one of the things that I'm doing right now, and I don't want to. I like what I'm doing right now, so I definitely want to help out in any way I can, and the work I'm already doing, I just don't have the, you know, this is going to be probably easily 5 hours a month, I would think, between meetings and onboarding and correspondence. And I don't know where I can fit that in. And if you want to do a really good job, I'm sure it's more than that. And I know with PSEP, it takes quite more than that to keep it going. So these things tend to explode. So I'm with you, Candace. It's more work, and it's a question of whether there's time, which I do not have, but I'm hoping somebody does.
Well, and I think also they're going to be asking us for, at least maybe I'm not understanding, or maybe I'm making assumptions that aren't real, but I feel like they're going to be requiring a lot of work from us. To, because we are the existing system, I imagine they're going to spend a lot of time wanting to learn how, you know, our system works. And again, I doubt they're going to want to build everything from scratch, and there's no need to build everything from scratch. So yeah, I want to make sure that, you know, the CRC stays strong, because also because it's the outgoing thing, you know, I feel like there's the, if I were to leave the CRC, or if I were to spread myself too thin and not have enough room for the CRC, I feel like that would be to a detriment to that commission, to not have like a strong institutional like connection, right? Like us being here. So, and not to say that I don't think CRC members should apply. I think definitely they should. I think just for me personally, I don't know if I could make that work, but yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to share my thoughts on that and get your thoughts if there were any.
So we only have a few minutes left before this meeting concludes. We've kind of opened up a lot today, and we're kind of going in a different direction than I thought we were going to go. And I don't want to lead where perhaps there's not a consensus on what we need to do. What I would like is, if anybody has any thoughts with the best way to provide at some point in time, and Julie said a survey, which I think is an excellent viewpoint, and we'll work on that as one of the things. But if anybody else has any thoughts about the way we can support this work going down the road, you know, it's at this point, it's going to be probably about 16 months before they conclude their work. But as Jim said the earlier, we can provide input, the better. So, you know, they're not reinventing the wheel if not needed. And also that things aren't overlooked that might be very important down the road. So the earlier, the better. If anybody has any thoughts down the road, most people have my email address, but for Greg and Jim that might not, it's right there, on how we can maybe move forward in the next few months in order to gather information and provide input, or really anything else that you feel that the policy committee and outreach committee should be doing. Shana mentioned bringing in speakers about various things, including groups that are already working in the field, as well as some of the issues that are being dealt with, including qualified immunity. And we can certainly, Irene has a wide outreach with respect to those organizations, so we can certainly do it. Jim, you have your hand up?
Yeah, this time I do, because you said other things you should be doing in the near term. And there are a lot of bills in Salem right now that directly address some of the things we're talking about. Most of them are either in New Frederick's committee or in Janelle Bynum's committee. And I was wondering whether or not the CRC or this committee have a policy of providing testimony or taking a position on these bills, which could be supported, could be to help get them going. Just a quick example here. Here we go. 2306 establishes a statewide police oversight board for policies, determines what police policies need to have. That's something CRC might want to talk about. Then, of course, there's the stuff about what sort of things you can do with crowd control. And if I join you guys, I'm going to be really hot on that issue. Want us to be able to take a position on crowd control and bystander intervention and lots of other issues, all of which exist in some form right now in Salem and people are talking about.
That's interesting. That's interesting, Jim. I'm sure you know Candace. She's definitely working a lot on the crowd control. They're going to have a report coming out soon. So I don't know if you attend Candace's work group, but you know, please reach out if not. I'll have to look into from the city attorneys as to whether we can advocate for voting. As I understand it, we can provide policy recommendations, but perhaps not to advocate for political stuff like that, but I might be misreading it because we're all technically public officials. So I'll need to look into that, but that's a really interesting point, Jim. So I'll circle back on that.
As a citizen, you can give testimony and there's no law against talking about what sort of testimony might be useful and then individuals taking the initiative and doing it.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Greg, I know you were here to observe, but any thoughts or questions or anything about that? What's been said?
Yes, and I have to inform them all. Actually, there's a lot of things that were said that I just didn't follow completely, and I wanted to follow up with Shayna, and I wanted to follow up with Candace, and then you too as well to get a better understanding of what we're going in. I also have questions about the new commission that actually is being created that I just need to formulate the question and the better thing. What's on top of my head right now? It doesn't make any sense to me.
And a lot of us have been doing this for quite a few years. And so we're using acronyms like PSEP and TAC and yada, yada. And I know it can be, I don't know your background in the work in this at least, but it could be a little bit difficult to follow, but unless you've been with the city for quite a while. So I'd be glad to help answer any questions. And Candace and Shayna, I know, would also as well. My email is right there. If you want to reach out to me, Greg, or everybody else's email is, you can reach out to the just general CRC group and people will forward you there as well. But I'd really like to get your viewpoints and hopefully you'll enjoy being around. Bye, Candace.
Bye, Candace.
Okay, and that's Candace's email as well, Greg, that just was posted just now. Oh, thank you. And Jim's as well.
Okay, thank you.
And I put mine in the chat as well for you, Greg, and anybody else who'd like to reach out. Vadim, one of the things I've seen done in other groups just to make it more accessible is not using acronyms and using the full words, just for making sure that people, because from an equity standpoint, often acronyms are used to be exclusive and exclusionary. And so I think as much as we can try to make sure that we're clarifying what those acronyms are, at least in this space, that might help folks to feel more comfortable.
Did not realize acronyms were exclusionary. I do try to like say them. Sometimes I get lost in the language there. So my apologies with the.
I'm not saying that as an accusation. I'm saying from an equity tool, that's something that a lot of equity officers are now incorporating into training. So I'm just sharing that as a as a tool that if you, folks don't know that, that folks are trying to remove acronyms because it often is exclusionary.
Yeah, and I believe I said OEHR as well, Office of Equity and Human Rights.
We all do it. We all do it.
I'll try. I'll probably not do it 100%, but I'll try. Anyways, guys, good talking to you. Thank you very much for your input.
Thank you all. Good to see you all. Thanks for coming, Greg. Thanks for coming, Jim. Bye, Irene.
Bye.
See you all later. Thank you. Bye.